Isn't it good praying with one another? Yeah, it's just good to speak to people, come to know their needs, pray for one another, pray for what's happening in the nation. You know, isn't that Philippine thing so tragic? Yeah, and it's great that although we are so far away, we can pray for things there and see things change. All right? You know, we are not just called to be Christians on a Sunday morning. We are called to be world changers. Yeah. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a world changer. All right? And our prayers will have an impact, will have an effect. Okay. Now, you know, when you see people and they have different, not costumes, but outfits on, you can tell what religion they belong to, isn't it? Say if a person walked in here with a turban, where is he from? What religion? Turban. Sikh. Okay, somebody walked in with a big tikka. Hindu, all right? With a white cap on. Muslim. Okay, what about Christians? What is it that marks us and that should distinguish us? Think about it. Look around. You know, any turbans, anything, everybody's so different. Okay, so what is the one thing that will mark us as Christians? Well done. Give Alma a big hand. Woo! John 13, 35. Let's turn to John chapter 13, verse 35. Okay. Jesus told us how to dress so that we are identified as his disciples. He says, by this all men and women will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Okay, the distinguishing mark of a Christian is not whether they wear an Indian outfit or a Western outfit, you know, that doesn't matter. Long hair, short hair, you know, all these things are on the surface. Really, the distinguishing mark is this, that we have love for one another. And really, love is the most important thing in following Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here, God's word and Paul writes out and he says why love is so important. You know, now, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Wow. How many speak in tongues here? Yeah, great. We want as many as possible to speak in tongues. And that's a great thing. So tongues of men and of angels. But he says, if I have not love, I am only a resounding gong. That's what I am, nothing else. Or a clanging cymbal. That's actually a cymbal. Okay? So you know, we can have people who are super spiritual. They can speak in tongues. They can, you know, do all these things. But he says, if there is no love, then I'm just a noise box. All right? Let's go to the next verse. And if I have the gift of prophecy, wasn't it wonderful to see people come up here, bring up prophetic words, encourage the body? He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Wow. This is not just a prophetic word. This is all mysteries and all knowledge. I mean, can you imagine knowing everything in the Word of God? Wow, that would be great. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, amazing faith, but have not love, I am nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. You know, so you can have a great leader who is able to do amazing miracles, great faith, raise the dead, you know, see cancers healed, and what is that? And prophetic words, wonderful. But what trumps all that is love. Okay? If I have not love, he says, I am nothing. Let's move on to the next verse. And if I give all I possess to the poor. Whoa. You know, we took an offering here this morning. Did anybody give all they possess? No. Now imagine if you give all you possess. There have been people who've done that. Okay? Sell all you have, give it to the poor. You know? Anybody done that? None of us have done that. This is a high, high standard. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames, what does that mean? He says, somebody says, deny Jesus or we're going to kill you. You say, no, you do what you want. I'm not going to deny Jesus. And you're willing to die for a cause. He says, but if I don't have love, I gain nothing. That means all the sacrifices we make, all the good deeds that we do, if they don't contain love, then really there's no reward in what we are doing. Yeah? So do you think love is important? Yes. So let's look this morning at how we can make sure that there is love in our lives, in our relationship. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you were the one, you are love, Lord. And you demonstrated your love for us by dying on the cross. Lord, this morning, I pray that as we look at your word, you would show us how we can love one another. That we would not stumble like what has been mentioned in these verses here, Lord. But we would have true love one another, deep love from the heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You know, many people think church is a two-hour meeting on a Sunday morning. Okay? Other people think church is a building or a place. But really, the church is not the meeting. It's not the place. Okay? But who knows the answer? What is it? We are the church. It's a people. Okay? It's a group of people who are connected to Jesus and connected to one another. Okay, so there's got to be a Jesus connection and there's a connection to one another. But it's not a static body. Okay, the church is on a mission. Jesus has saved his church and he's given us a mission. The mission is to bring the kingdom of God on this earth. Okay, but it's important to keep the mission in mind. But apart from the mission, Jesus is interested in how we work together. Okay? How do we relate to one another? And that we've seen is so important. So remember, the church is not a building, it's not a place, it's not a meeting. Okay? It's people rightly related to Jesus and rightly related to one another. Okay? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples a question. Okay, and he says, who do people say I am? Yeah? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 onwards. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Keep going. Next verse. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Go on. Well, what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. All right? So the first thing here is that Jesus makes a declaration. He says, I will build my church and even hell will not be able to overcome it and we will be able to overcome the gates of hell. So that's his declaration. So who's building his church? Jesus. All right? Jesus. Now, Jesus says, I'm building my church on something, and that is the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And you know, this revelation can't come by natural means. He says, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. That is a supernatural thing that happens when the Holy Spirit touches a person's heart and reveals who Jesus is. The moment that happens, you become part of the church. That's what Jesus is building. Now, Jesus said he will build our church. What is our role in seeing the church built? You know, one of the things the early believers did, the first 100 years of Christianity, or maybe 200 years, Christianity was more or less outlawed. They didn't have the freedom to rent a hall or own a building and meet. So they met in homes. They met in courtyards. They met in different places. Okay? And the key thing was their meeting together. Okay? That was a key thing. And not only was it their meeting together, but throughout the epistles, we see Paul instructing the Christians on not just how to meet, but how to live. And over 60 times, there's one phrase mentioned there. It's called one another. Have you come across that phrase? Yeah, one another. You know, there are many things. He says, for example, in Romans 15, verse 7, accept one another as Christ accepted you. Forgive one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Love one another. Submit to one another. So really, this love that Jesus is talking about is outworked as we obey these commands to do these one another things. Now, some people come to a church meeting with this understanding in their minds. And they say, oh, to live with the saints above. You know, that would be glory. All right? That means to live in heaven with all the saints, glory. Oh, to dwell with the saints below. That's in the church. That's another story. Okay? And that's a reality sometimes, isn't it? Yeah? We say, yeah, in heaven it's perfect. But on earth, you know, as we interact with one another, okay, that's another story. You know, oh, this person said this, they hurt me, I hurt them. You know, they didn't remember my birthday, they didn't pray for me, or whatever, they didn't wish me. And we can go through all these things. And partly those things are all in our mind. You know, we don't know why they didn't wish you or they didn't call you on your birthday or pray for you, you know, or help you. But really, much of the New Testament talks about how we should live as the church of God. And imagine, there are more than 60 instructions in the Word of God saying this, you know, love one another, care for one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, submit to one another. And really, if we want to see the church of God built, that one anothering thing needs to happen, where it is strengthened and built up. Now, on a Sunday morning, it's very difficult to practice the one anotherings, okay? Because really, you know, you can really see only the person's head in front of you. That's the kind of interaction. And we have a little interaction, we have a little more interaction, you know, where we pray together. But real interaction happens when we meet together, also on a Sunday, but also apart from a Sunday, okay? And so my goal as the pastor of Word of Grace is to say, Jesus said that people will know we are his disciples if we have love for one another. So I want to make sure that how can we do things that will foster love in our midst? How can we do things where we can practice these one another things? And you know, there are 60, yeah. I don't think we have time to go through all of them this morning. but we'll look at a few of them. Okay, so remember the big picture. Jesus is building his church. Okay, the hallmark of his church is that they love one another. Love is so important that if you have all the spiritual gifts, you give all your money to the poor, you do what you want, but if you don't have love, it is of no consequence. So right now we've got to say, each day, how can I grow in loving God, of course, but loving one another? And sometimes it is a challenge to love one another, isn't it? Yeah, because sometimes people hurt us. And we say, oh, they're hurting me all the time. How can I love them? You know, or or we just have different personality types. You know, we've been doing this with Karen and Donna, different personality types. And we can miscommunicate and hurt one another. But how can we maintain this love? Because really, the greatest thing, again, 1 Corinthians says, is faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And my heart this morning is that at the end of this message, as we leave this place, we would grow with the passion to say, I want to be a loving person. I want to grow in my love for people. You know? So let's look at a few things that we can do. Okay. So the first one I want to look at is this. You know, we've looked at, this is my command, love one another. The first one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Okay, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This comes up all the time because, listen, anybody here perfect? No, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. We you know, before we can think, wink, or blink, some words come out of our mouth. Has that happened to you? Yeah? You're upset and you just say, oh no. You know, and then say, why did I say that? And we hurt people. Okay, we may do things to hurt people. And let me tell you, there is, Word of Grace is not a perfect church. Turn to somebody and say that. Word of Grace is not a perfect church. Right? You know, especially as new believers, we come into faith and we know, wow, the love of God, and we think Christians are perfect. I did that when I was a new believer. You know, but then we soon realize that no, we are not perfect. Okay, we are perfectly righteous in position, but not in performance. Okay, we are a WIP, work in progress. All right, so from the day we are born again till the day we go to be with Jesus, we are being changed into His image and likeness step by step from glory to glory. Okay, you know. There was a man who was looking for a perfect church. He was tired of getting hurt in all the churches. So he went to Spurgeon, the great preacher. I think it was Spurgeon. And he said, I want to join the perfect church. Can you tell me where it is? So Spurgeon said to him, you know what? Are you perfect? He said, no. He says, look, you're not perfect. If you join the perfect church, it won't be perfect anymore. And that's the same thing with us. You see? We are not perfect. We are far from perfect. We have faults. Okay? Is there anybody here who does not have faults? Just get married. You'll find them out all. You know, the best person to tell you your faults is your husband or your wife. All right? And so we all have faults. We have sins we are dealing with. And we are far from perfect. And in the church, you will be hurt. Okay, now there are two levels of hurt. One is something in our minds. Okay, that means the person didn't really hurt us. I'm just interpreting it as it's called taking offense. Okay, so what can happen is, you know, you come in here and there's a greeter at the door and there's another person behind you. Let's say Meher comes and that person warmly welcomes Meher and all that. And you walk in and they don't say anything to you. Now, Meher may have been preoccupied with the greeter could have been preoccupied with Meher, you know, and you've just passed through and they skipped you. And what could go through your mind? Why did Meher not greet me? Okay, so this is taking offense where she may not have intended to do anything, but then the mind goes on. Yeah, you know, she's, you know, yeah, these people are like that. Okay, and the mind goes into overdrive. Okay, so these are perceived offenses. And I'm just giving you a simple example. There could be any number of examples like that. Okay. There are other times when we are genuinely hurt by others. And really, what the Bible says here is, be kind and compassionate to one another. That means the way we are dealing with people is we are kind, not rough, compassionate. And then the next phrase is amazing. Forgiving each other. Now, a lot of people say, Yeah, I forgive. It's just that I won't talk to her again. Okay? Or I forgive, but I can't forget. And so that's why Scripture is written down there, qualified how we should forgive. He's saying, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the standard of forgiveness. How did Jesus forgive us? How did God forgive us? He died on the cross. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So forgiving means, you know, does Jesus keep a record of your sins? No. He says, I throw them, you know. He remembers our sins no more. And that's a standard we've got to do with people. Okay? You've got to say, I forgive them completely. I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm going to treat them how Jesus has treated me. So may I encourage us to do this. If you have been hurt by somebody, okay? If you've been hurt by, or you think you've been hurt, talk to the people about it, okay? Go up to them and say, hey, you know, the other day I was walking in, I realized that you didn't greet me when I came in. Okay, have I offended you in some way or something? And you're clearing the air. Okay, or if somebody offended you, you go back to them and say, you know, the other day we were talking and, you know, I felt really hurt by what you said. What did you mean? And so forth. So let's make sure we are being kind and compassionate, forgiving one another. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Romans 15, verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7. It says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. You know, in the world, what happens is people associate with one another based on their social status, economic status, educational background, and so forth. Isn't that true? That's what happens in the world. But in the church, we have people with different educational backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, everything. Okay? And Jesus says to accept one another. How? Again, he's qualified it. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Wow. The way you have to accept somebody is how Christ has accepted you. You know, what does it say? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know? So in the church, we should not have any divisions based on caste. You know, oh, upper caste, lower caste, all these things. Okay, the world is divided that way. We shouldn't have any divisions about based on education. You know, we've got, I met a couple of people here who are doing their PhDs. Wonderful. But in the church, we have people who have just finished their 10th standard. Great. Okay, we need to accept one another. All right? We will have in the church rich and poor. Okay, rich and poor is a relative term. Do you know that? Okay? Yeah, it is a relative term. And what we've got to do is say, not discriminate on the basis of rich and poor. Okay? So we are willing to associate with everybody. Not only do we have that, but we have, you know, we've got people from different parts of India in the church. And what can happen is we can feel comfortable with people from who speak our language maybe, or who are from our state. Okay? And again, we don't want that to be the norm. Because it says there, accept one another. So if you're from Kerala and you meet somebody else from Andhra, okay, hey, let's love one another and mix with one another. And what the Bible says is this. When the world sees that mixture happening, it baffles them. They can't understand how, you know, I don't know, I think historically people from Kerala and Tamil Nadu are rivals or something like that. Or, you know, North India, South India. You have all these kind of divisions that are there, you know. And we're saying, but here when they come to the church, they see, hey, they're all one. What's the secret of that? And really, it gives glory to Jesus. Okay? So we are forgiving one another. We are accepting one another. Okay? The third thing is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another once a year. Is that what it says? No, it says encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. What that means is you wake up in the morning and you ask somebody, is it yesterday? He said, no, it's today. Is it tomorrow? No, it's today. Okay, I need to encourage somebody. All right? So as long as it is called today, we need to encourage one another so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Okay, now let me tell you, these are not suggestions. These are commands of God. Okay, it's not optional. So what we are looking for is, we're looking at how can I build up somebody's faith every day. We don't have time to get into the verses before and after. But really what it's saying is, you know, as Christians, can we put up the next verse, 14 as well? We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. So what he's saying is, life can get tough. For example, maybe you have a long-standing illness, all right? And you're praying, you're believing God for healing, but there's been no change. What does the enemy come to tell you? He says, God doesn't love you. You know, is God real? Does he have power? So replace that illness with any other situation in your life. You know, anything you're going through, maybe job or relationship or, you know, strife in marriage or some situation or finding something. And the enemy will pour these thoughts in, just as he came to Adam and Eve. And he says, you know, did God really say this? You know, really, God doesn't want you to eat that because he knows that when you do that, you'll become like him. And so the enemy will whisper these thoughts into your mind. And really, the role of one another is when we know a brother or sister is struggling in a situation, we need to encourage them daily, okay, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, so that they will not be deceived by the enemy and their hearts will become hardened towards God. Okay? So, you know, now, for this to happen, for us to know what is the pain in somebody's life, it does not necessarily happen on a Sunday morning. We have to spend time with one another. Okay? And remember, our spending time, say we have gym groups, you know what gym stands for? God, you, and me. Where the focus is as we worship God, as we fellowship with one another, okay, we will grow spiritually, okay? And so in our gym groups and as we converse with people, we'll know the pain in somebody's life. We know how they need to grow. And what we need to do is to encourage them daily. You find a verse of scripture that ties in with your situation, send it to them. Tell them I'm praying for them. Pray for them. And what that will do is that will not let sin's deceitfulness harden their hearts. Okay? So that's what we need to do. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, again, this comes to when anybody is going through a problem. We've got Glory with her mother battling cancer. Okay, we've got Sunit's cousin who's expecting and who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay, now, do you feel helpless? Yeah, we feel helpless. So what can I do? You know, we just got on Facebook a message about a friend of ours from Dubai whose father was holidaying in Spain. And in Spain, somebody in a bar hit him, and he fell, he hit his head, and now he's in coma, he's unconscious, and all that has happened. So horrific things happen to people, all right? And here the command is, bear one another's burdens, okay? So as we meet with people at our gym groups and other places, you know, as we talk to them, we'll find out what are the burdens, Okay, so on our interactive group and other things, you'll receive messages about prayer requests. We've been praying for Kelly's results. Yeah, in one paper, she was just graded zero, although she's filled the paper, and not only her, but 20 others. You know, so that's a burden. I'm just saying, no, we want to pray with that. That pains us, you know, as we hear of these different things. We'll just do a couple more. Okay, Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And really, what we are saying is, you know, we're preferring one another. We are saying, okay, I don't want my way all the time, but let me submit to what's happening. So how does it work out? Say, let's, for example, we have teams that serve so wonderfully in the church. We've got the setup, the clear up, the other teams. So if you have the team leader, okay, and he says, do this. What does submitting mean? We do that. That's it. Now, that person may be younger than you. That person may be less qualified than you. But he's been placed there in that position of authority. And here we are saying we are submitting one another out of respect for Christ. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. This is another thing that we want to do, you know, that as we get into the word, we are able to teach one another. We are sharing what God has done, what God has showed us through his word, and teaching one another. That's another thing that we are called to do. And we can go on and on. There are 60 of these things. But the key thing is these things need to be practiced on a one another basis. It's a one-to-one thing. Okay? So the gym groups are very important. How many are part of a gym? Put your hand up. Let me just see it right up. All right? Okay. I want to encourage you, if you're part of this church, make sure you are connecting to a gym group. Because if you are not, you're like a scooter moving with only one wheel. Can't get very far. All right? You need that relationship where we can practice these things. Because what is it that distinguishes you as a Christian? Your love for one another. Okay? And I'll show you how important this is. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 11. This is the great apostle Paul writing in Romans 1, 11. The Romans is one of the most doctrinal books in the Bible. Okay, powerful stuff. But see what Paul says. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Okay, so he's writing the Bible to these people, but he's saying, I'm sending you this letter, but I, more than the letter, I long to see you and be with you face to face. That's what it means. Okay. Why? He says, through that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. When we meet together in flesh and blood, there is an impartation that can take place. You know, this afternoon, the young people are meeting with Karen and Donna, you know. But as you meet with them, there is an impartation that will take place. Okay? Information, you can go to YouTube and find out anything under the sun. Okay, but impartation is flesh and blood. I pray that we as a body of Christ, we as a church of the living God, would grow in loving one another. All right? We'd say, Lord, what area do I need a change in? Okay? You know, among the 60 is practice hospitality. That's something that happens wonderfully here. Respect one another, love one another. There's one more. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right? And we need to make sure we are greeting one another in a wonderful way. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that as people look in here, they would see the love and say, yes, these are Christians. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are love, that you demonstrated your love for us by dying on the cross. Lord, thank you that you said the hallmark of being your disciples is love. Lord, would you now pour out your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be a loving people. Oh, Lord, that we would love one another, care for one another, forgive one another, and do all those 60 things, Lord. I pray that day by day we would grow in love for one another, for you and for one another. Would you do that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let's enjoy a time of fellowship together. We'll enjoy some